T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is a Football Friday edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by the A&A Sportsbook.
On 1080 The Fan.
Ain't it good? All right, very happy to bring on this Friday NBA insider for Yahoo Sports. A busy time of the year for him. Jake Fisher, kind enough to take a few minutes for us. How you doing, Jake? Thanks for coming on here in Portland.
I'm running on fumes, guys, but I'm happy to be here. How are you doing?
Doing well. Not sure what we can talk about. You know, there's not much going on in the NBA or trade buzz at all. But
yeah, I don't know why you would possibly be running on fumes.
I guess what we'll throw out there is, were you taken back at all by the Kyrie Irving news that came out today that he is requesting a trade and wants to be on the move?
So someone on Tuesday told me that if Kyrie doesn't get an extension, that he would ask for a request and to look out for Phoenix. But you hear so much stuff around the league right now. Mm-hmm. And like a GM of a team that's been linked to OG Anunoby, let's say, returned my call like right after the Kyrie news dropped, and said to me something on the lines of like, Friday before trade deadline, there's always bullshit. Like, excuse me if I can't say that on your airways. I apologize. But that's kind of like this week. Like, you don't know necessarily what is just kind of hooey and what's real. And, like, this turned out to be real.
Wow. That's it. That's an incredible thing to kind of think about, is that these things just every Friday before the deadline, they do pop up and something like that happens. When we look at it, though, I think from the outsiders looking in at the NBA, you go, is the juice worth the squeeze for a guy like Kyrie Irving? How many teams do you think are really in a position to want to push all in to go and get a Kyrie Irving right now with everything that comes with Kyrie?
There's only going to be a handful. I think you can count them on one hand, literally. The Lakers, the Mavericks, the Suns and the Heat have already been mentioned. I think I wouldn't throw out the Clippers. In that, I don't know that they're definitely going to pursue him, but like they're a team that's clearly they've been looking at the Frank VanVleet, the Mike Conley's, you know, having mm-hmm. at least discussed Kyle Lowry, and they've got veteran talent that I think, you know, Brooklyn responded to Kevin Durant's trade request this summer by going out and trying to build as competitive a roster that they could to convince him basically to stay. And so I feel like that's going to continue to be their approach here, in that they're going to try until the Nets get a trade request, a subsequent trade request from Kevin Durant, they're going to look at building as competitive a team without Kyrie Irving and getting a greater package back that can keep them as a contender. That to me is like a clear cut, obvious criteria they're going to follow. But again, that could completely go out the window if Kevin Durant requests a trade, and like, who knows what could happen. I mean, if both those guys want out, like, I could see Sean Marks even getting fired. Like, it's a lot of this is going to hinge on what happens with Kevin Durant's status.
With this request being, you know, formal at this point in time, does this turn into the proverbial domino that can trigger the rest of the deadline? Or is that still a team like Toronto with an OG or a Fred VanVleet or something along those lines?
Yeah, I think, and this is going to hold up everything. I mean, the one thing I'll say going back to how limited his market is, like, there are a few teams who are going to really be truly in on Kyrie, but the fact that there are such few sellers in this is a fixed marketplace, if there are five teams trying to negotiate for Kyrie, that is going to have some ripple effect elsewhere. But, like, I mean, deals still happened the second free agency started despite Kevin Durant's trade request, right? So there will be activity. Like, things will happen, but I don't think this is going to, like, clog up everything like LeBron's free agent decision back in 2010. Like, it will pause other teams, right? So that ripple effect will occur, but you're still going to see activity happen elsewhere.
We're talking with NBA insider for Yahoo Sports, Jake Fisher. We have this poll up right now as we found out today that Yusuf Nurkic was going to be shut down until at least the All-Star break. Have we seen the last of Yusuf Nurkic in a Trailblazers uniform? What is your sense and your feeling about what the Blazers are going to be doing, especially with their center, where there seems to be a lot of smoke?
I don't necessarily think he can get moved. Like, sure, Portland has made him available, and I think they would certainly like to upgrade at center, but he's in the first year of a four-year, $70-plus million contract. I have not heard much interest in acquiring that around the league. So I think that's kind of the situation at the trade deadline, right, where, like, in free agency, there are players who are available who just, like, will get signed. There are some who will, but, like, the overall majority are obviously going to get signed. It's just a matter of finding homes at the deadline. Sometimes there just aren't guys who are made available that have a landing spot just based off of process elimination and the fact that teams won't necessarily have the appetite for eating that salary.
The other news, obviously, is yesterday afternoon that the Trailblazers were linked to Jared Vanderbilt. And that's something that I think a lot of people here locally, obviously Damian Lillard had a tweet in December with the eyes emojis when one of his confidants tweeted something about it. That sounds like it's something it's not necessarily done, but definitely something that looks like it would probably head towards Portland way. But the other side of that is kind of what's going out. And there's been talks of a lesser deal, not involving the other big asset in Josh Hart. Have you heard anything else around Josh Hart? Because I know that the teams that may be in pursuit of OG Anunoby would also kind of maybe pivot to a guy like Josh Hart as well.
Yeah, Vando, I've definitely heard Portland. I've heard a few other teams. Portland's the only one that I've heard, like, a package for. And I'll say it was like a smaller salary player than Josh Hart and a couple second-round picks. I feel like, you know, the Jazz have definitely listed Beasley and Vanderbilt and Conley all as available for a first-round pick. And I think teams are looking at what happened with Washington and Rui, and that the Wizards certainly wanted a first-round pick for Rui Hachimura at first, and then the Lakers were able to get him for three second-round picks. Like, I think teams are going to try to split that difference across the board, where you have the Utah guys, but also, you know, like Detroit, for example, like, they're holding up a high asking price for Bogdanovich, and, you know, across the league, pretty much everyone's available for a first or multiple first, all that type of stuff. I think to that point too, like, Josh Hart could definitely become a secondary target for teams, but it seems like no one's, like, actively, like, I haven't heard of a team that's, like, dying to get Josh Hart. Not to besmirch Josh Hart. He's a good player, but I think the fact that also he's going to opt out of his final year, that's expected of his contract, at $12.9 million. So he's probably looking for more. A team that would be willing to trade for Josh Hart that isn't just looking at him as a postseason rental is going to have an appetite to pay him, like, at least 3 years, 45. So I don't see a ton of teams right now who are lining up to pay that, being that his shooting has taken such a dip that obviously Blazers fans have noticed so far this season.
So put your GM hat on and say you're Joe Cronin. Where do you pick up the phone and try to call and kick the tires on to help improve your roster the most with what you're dealing with?
I mean, honestly, if I'm Joe Cronin, I'm making Simons and Shaedon Sharpe and everyone who's not Damian Lillard and Jeremy Grant available for trade. I don't know if OG Anunoby is the answer, but I feel like you could probably build packages. Like, if you really wanted to look across the table at Damian Lillard like the Lakers have with LeBron and just go all out and do everything you can to try to build a contender around this guy, I would try to find ways to turn both Simons and Sharp into blue chip package, you know, players going out to go get, you know, upper. I mean, I would just call every single team. I would call every single all-star who in theory is not just untouchable, you know, just to try to see what's out there, because I think the clock is clearly ticking on how long Damian Lillard can just effortlessly post 60-point games. And I mean, it's just, they're not at the top tier of the West. They're just not.
No.
When it's all said and done, just overall on this trade deadline, I know it's always easier to default to less than more, but do you have the sense of this deadline, maybe not having the names that move outside of a Kyrie, but is this starting to feel like this may get to be a busier deadline transaction period as teams are kind of not fighting over the same kind of asset pools, but fighting to make those small adjustments, to make those runs, particularly in the West?
I think there'll be a handful of activity. Like, there are just too many teams that are looking to get better. And sure, the league has pretty traditionally of late operated with buyers and sellers helping each other get, you know, different things at the opposite end of the spectrum accomplished. But, you know, we saw deals like Kristaps Porzingis for Spencer Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans last year at the deadline. The Wizards again with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope for Monty Morris and Will Barton. Like, I'm sure we'll see some deals like that too, where, you know, like when John Collins goes out the door for Atlanta, I'm sure the Hawks will end up getting, I'm confident the Hawks will end up getting, you know, two rotation players back, or like a rotation player or fringe rotation player back, that like that fit their defensive, you know, improvement needs over there. And like, I think there will be the backup center market is going to have a ton of activity, but like Mo Bamba and Naz Reid, like, aren't going to be drawn. I mean, I consider Jared Vanderbilt even in that backup five market too. Like, those guys aren't going to be drawing massive, massive hauls. So outside of some Kyrie fireworks, or even Kevin Durant requesting a trade, or the Raptors deciding to really pull the plug with Fred VanVleet, like, I think the majority of deals will be more, you know, rotational. Well, how can we raise our ceiling? How can we like upgrade this, you know, fifth starter type of trade versus like massive, massive fireworks? But who's to say? It's only Friday for the trade deadline. Everything, all this can go out the door and things can change. And we're just going to try to pick up the pieces as it goes along.
So when you have like a deadline like this, where it may say maybe no big moves made, or it's just kind of quiet, do you sit there when the deadline passes and say, I didn't sleep for this? Like, this is what I didn't sleep for? No big trades right now?
the fun is kind of the theoretical. The fun is kind of like the theoretical piecing things together, and it's easy to kind of come up with ideas and talk about it, and everyone in the league likes to just kind of like, oh, would you do this? Would you do that? When it's all said and done, like, I'm just trying to go to sleep. Like, it doesn't matter what happens. Like, the work leading up to it, I think, is kind of the real work. For me, at least.
And how many, like, on top of that, that's interesting that you say that, because it's like, how many of the conversations that start now end up leading to a deal happening in June, July, later on down the road?
It's a great question. I mean, I'd say the overwhelming majority of trades that get done around the draft and for agency, there was absolutely some type of starting point that was discussed this time of the year. So if we do see a quiet deadline, especially with the fact that, I mean, not to besmirch the upcoming free agents, but no one in the league that I've talked to was looking at this as like a decorated class of upcoming free agents. But I think there will be whatever trade activity that fans feel is lacking now, I think that slack will be picked up come this summer, and there could be a lot of movement then.
All right, man, I'm going to get you out of here on an easy one. How many points do your Eagles win by?
I don't want to be too confident, but I thought the 2.5 opening spread was a little offensive. I'm not going to lie.
There you go.
There you go. We're. I think we may be talking to one of a handful of people that were actually excited the Empire State Building was lit up in New York City.
I know. As a New York City resident from the Philadelphia area, that was awesome.
Jake, we really appreciate the time, man. Thank you for coming on, and hopefully get some sleep sometime soon.
Talk soon, buddy.
Thank you, guys. See ya.
There he is, Jake Fisher, Yahoo Sports NBA Insider.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.